All right, I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles, please, for just a little while to Paul's epistle to the Galatians once again, chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, I want to continue to preach the subject matter that has been on my heart now for several weeks. I keep hitting the same nail on the head, trying to drive it in as deep as I possibly can, because I believe that this is God's message to us here at Welcome All Baptist Church in these days. If I thought it was something else, I'd move on. But I believe that as long as God continues to give me the labor to preach this particular subject, I ought to do it. And I don't think that it's ever God's will for a preacher or a pastor to just bob around from one section to another kind of loosely. But I do believe He's a God of order. He puts everything in its proper order. He has His schedule. And in prayer, we try to find what God's schedule is and then line up with it. And I believe that this is the subject the Lord would have us to deal with. We've titled this message, Fake News. I heard Donald Trump, the president, this past week, giving his chastisement to the news media once again, slamming heads together. He's upset with them because he says they lie on him. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not a big Trump defender, but nobody likes to be lied on. I don't want nobody lying on me. You don't want nobody lying on you. God don't want anybody lying on Him. Mr. Trump, our President Trump, said it looks like he's going to have to change. He's been calling it fake news. He said, I guess I'm going to have to call it now very fake news. So I guess that's what we're going to do. We're going to fire it up just a little bit more. Very fake news. And before I read from Galatians chapter 1, I think maybe I ought to read, first of all, a parable the Lord Jesus stated in Matthew chapter 22, if you want to look there with me. Matthew chapter 22, and we'll try to put these together if we can. And read this first in Matthew chapter 22. You preach the truth of God, and if you as God's people stand for the truth of God, you are not going to lack for enemies. You're going to have enemies. Everybody's not going to like you. Everybody's not going to be willing to fellowship with you. You're not going to get along with everybody. But you have got to set your sails. And somebody said, raise your sails, and the Holy Spirit, like the wind, He'll feel those sails and sends you in the direction He wants you to go. And people can fuss about that, scream about that all they want to. I learned a long time ago not to allow man to intimidate me, not to allow man to set me in the direction that he thinks I ought to go. I am not, are you listening? I am not going to allow any man, whether he be preacher or who he is, another pastor, another evangelist, or anybody in this congregation, I am not going to allow anybody to dictate to me and to tell me what to preach and what not to preach. I'm not going to do it. And I'm not going to allow anybody to tell me where I ought to cast anchor, where I... the particular subjects that I ought to exaggerate or declare it to the fullest. I'm just not going to do it. And any time that I get liberty on a particular subject, I'm going to hang my hat on that nail and stay there until God rusts the nail, breaks the nail, or whatever, says, grab your hat and move on now. But that's the only way I know to do. If we don't do it that way, then we're not God's men. We're not God's people. But He's the one that called us. Brother R.C. Sproul, he said, the greatest weakness in the church today is that the servant of God keep looking over their shoulder for the approval of men. Now, that's not supposed to be that way. It's just not supposed to be that way. I love every friend I have, and I need all the friends I can get. But I'm going to tell you, people are walking on bad ground with me if they try to manipulate me and try to send me in a direction. And I mean it, what they say may be true as far as this is truth and you ought to deal with it. And if it is truth, I ought to deal with it. But I'm just simply saying where God tells me to cast anchor, that's where I'm going to cast anchor. That's just the way it is. It's the way it's got to be. And I think that the sheep of God want it that way. I believe you want it that way if you are indeed God's sheep. And so that's where we're going to be, and that's what we're going to do. Matthew chapter 22. I want you to watch this passage. Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which were bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and they went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth. And he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. Now watch this. He said unto him, friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Here is the case of a man who just simply was not dressed right. He didn't have the proper attire on for this wedding. And back in the day, customs were followed to the letter. And it was customary that people wear particular garments when they would come to weddings. Now, of course, in our day and time, the bride has a particular wedding garment that she would have on ordinarily. Very few times, you know, you see it going another direction. But whatever. Customarily, she has a long white dress on, maybe a long trail behind her, maybe a veil. You know, usually that's the idea, but not always. Back in the day of our Lord Jesus, weddings were extremely important. It was a major event. It's not something they did one day, but they took several days to go through a series of things in order to then finally have the grand event itself. Here is a man who dared to come to the wedding, and he did not have on the proper wedding attire. And it wasn't looked on lightly. As a matter of fact, it was extremely offensive. It was offensive to the family. It was offensive to the man conducting the ceremony. Because again, custom was just about everything. Tradition was just about everything. Culture was just about everything. And so people were expected to dress the part, to act the part, to go through the proper procedures and do whatever is necessary and whatever is expected of them. But this man dared to come to the wedding. You and I can't appreciate this. But back in the day, the people that Jesus was preaching to, they knew exactly where he was coming from. A man came in not having on the wedding garment. It's extremely important to have on the proper attire. when it comes to these matters, and may I say when it comes to spiritual matters as well. We're going to see that. Let me read my text now right quickly. Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ and to another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The man that didn't have on the wedding garment, what did the host say? Bind him hand and foot. Cast him into outer darkness. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. He's getting down to brass tacks there. And he's laying everything out for the people to see. Now that's exactly what the Apostle Paul is doing here. Verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. What does it take to offend you? What does it take to really offend you, to really get you stirred up and fuming? Well, here in Matthew chapter 22, it took somebody who did not come dressed the part. The people had to dress the part. Otherwise, the host himself and others would be greatly offended. What did it take to offend the Apostle Paul? It took another gospel. It took somebody coming peddling something that is not the truth of God, but presenting it as if it is the truth of God. It offended that man of God. And dear friends, I'll remind you, he didn't handle those people with kid gloves, just like the host at the marriage feast didn't handle that man lightly. He said, put the chains on that man. Bind him. Put him in bondage and throw him in outer darkness. Let him experience the seriousness of refusing to do things the way that we've set it up to be done. You don't make up your rules as you go. You don't dress like you want to dress and do like you want to do. This is the marriage feast. We've got customs. We've got a culture to observe. We've got family history. And it's got to be done right. We're just not going to tolerate anybody coming in here changing the rules. The Apostle Paul said, when I was with you people down there at Galatia, I preached the gospel to you. I preached the truth. I told you exactly what God says the gospel is. I told you about a gospel that's changed my life, that saved me, that caused me to put off my religious garments of Judaism. And I'd live my whole life dedicated to that. I'd live my entire life as a Jew of the Jews, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. I refused while the rest of you were running down and chasing the Greek culture. He said, I stayed with the Hebrew stuff. He said, while the rest of you were getting slack and wandering, he said, I held on to my beloved Judaism. Go back and read Philippians chapter 3 again. Paul will give you the details of his love for the Jewish faith of the day. But he said there was a gospel. And I believe personally, he heard with God-given ears Stephen's message. When early in the book of Acts, Stephen stood before the Jewish people. And brother, I want to tell you, the truth of God split those people. I mean, it divided them. And it put the Hatfields on one side and the McCoys on the other. They were fuming. They were so mad with Stephen when he backed them up against the wall with truth. And they knew. Here's the thing about it. Have you ever met somebody and you got in a debate with them and they got mad at you because you presented the truths in such a way that they didn't have an answer? And all, instead of converting, instead of repenting, they got mad at you. I've seen that so many times as a preacher and a pastor over for nearly 45 years. It's unreal. You've seen it too. The Apostle Paul, or rather Stephen, he went back in Jewish history. He went back in Old Testament times. And he showed the Israeli people that they had a history of rejecting every Savior God ever sent them. They claimed to embrace Abraham. They bragged about him being their father. But they were not indeed the children of faithful Abraham. They refused the God that Abraham served. They rejected him. They rejected Moses. They got mad enough to kill him. They rejected the judges. They rejected the prophets. They wanted to stone the prophets, bind them and throw them in jail. They had a history. Israel had a history of rejecting every Savior that God would send them. And then the culmination of it all was when God sent forth His only begotten Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ in the fullness of time stood before the Israeli people. John 1:11 said, He came to His own, and His own received Him not. Again, they rejected the Savior, the only one who could save their soul. They said no. Stephen preached that to them. And he called them stiff-necked. He said, you've always resisted and you continue to do so to this good day. And they took their cloaks and coats off. And a young man by the name of Saul from Tarsus stood there and held their clothing while those people stoned Stephen to death. Saul gave his consent to it. But I want to tell you, that message Stephen preached never left Saul of Tarsus. It stayed with him. And when you read Acts chapter 9 in the first few verses, you can tell that there's something that is going on in the mind and the will and the heart of Saul of Tarsus. Because usually before a person is truly converted, they get mean as a devil. I mean, they get mean, buddy. You know what it is that makes them mean? Truth. Truth! Most people get mad at God before they bow to Him. Wasn't it Martin Luther that wrote Bondage of the Will? Martin Luther was mad at God because God demanded that Martin Luther repent. Martin Luther had enough Bible knowledge, he understood that he couldn't repent. And yet God was calling on him to do something that he couldn't do. He didn't have it in him to repent. You don't either and I don't either. Not apart from the grace of God being exercised in our life by the powerful Holy Ghost. It's amazing to me, churches fired the Holy Ghost a long time ago. Figuring, we don't need you anymore. We can do it without you. We'll sing and stir up the emotions of people and tell little sad tales and get people emotionally moved. And then we'll get a profession of faith out of them. That's not the way the truth of God works. The truth of God is like a hammer. It breaks the heart. That stubborn will, it breaks it in two until that person bows to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Emotions come and go. Every one of us are emotionally as fickle as we could possibly be. But truth will create conviction. And conviction is much more than preference. And you bow to God, not just because at the moment you prefer to do so, but rather you feel the weight of your guilt and the need of His Son, and you willingly bow to Him and surrender your heart and your life to God. That's the difference. That's why I want to stick with truth. Brother Ronnie read this morning in Sunday school, he read a sermon on revival by Brother Ian Paisley. Brother Paisley went home to be with the Lord a few years ago. He was a preacher. He was a member of Parliament in England. And he was a preacher with a backbone. Praise God, he had a backbone. He stood up in Parliament before the political leaders of England, Great Britain. He told them when they wasn't right. And he didn't mind speaking well of the Lord Jesus Christ in front of that crowd. He went to Bob Jones University back, I think it was back in 1976, if I remember right. 1976, and he preached a message to thousands of students at Bob Jones University. And I've heard him preach. I think that's the greatest message I ever heard. You know what he preached on? He preached on the cross. And you know what he said to start with? He said, when I came to this country a few days ago, he said, I first applied for a visa to come. And your government would give me a visa for 10 days only. They wouldn't let me stay for over 10 days. See, he was such a controversial preacher. And the reason he is controversial, because it wasn't because he was a cultist. It was because he stood upon truth. And truth divides. That's the reason our country is split up like it is today. Because truth divides. And even our president, he may not know God, but God knows who He is. And His heart is in the hand of the Lord. And that sovereign God's turning His heart every way that He wants to. And forcing truth to come to the surface. I've been begging God, Lord, show the truth to all the world about the liberals and humanists that are among our politicians in our day. Let them see liberalism. Let them get a good look at it. And humanism. And when you see all of this pack of foolishness that's going on the streets of the United States of America, God is showing us what lies and humanism and liberalism really looks like. I'm not trying to be political. I'm trying to be spiritual. I'm just using the politics of our day as an illustration, because people can tap into that, maybe understand that, maybe some things about the Scriptures we don't understand. But when we get it on a level with us is what's going on around us, it kind of opens up to us. Truth divides. I mentioned Brother Paisley. The Pope came in, going to speak at Parliament. Paisley protested. He didn't want that to happen. And when the Pope of that day came on the floor and began his speech, I heard this. He began his speech. Brother Paisley stood up in Parliament and began to cry, Antichrist! Antichrist! You say, I ought not done that. That causes division. Our Lord Jesus said, are you listening now? This is the head of the church, not the Pope, Jesus. And the head of the church, the true head, Jesus said, I didn't come to bring peace on this earth. I came with a sword. And brother, that sword is His Word. It's the truth.
He said, I'll split a family right down the middle. I'll split cousin from cousin, and mothers from daddies, and children from parents. I'll split a church. I'll split it wide open, he said, using truth.
I'm going to tell you, praise God, maybe now we're about to come to a place, Brother Larry, where we're all going to have to take sides. Been a long time coming. I keep looking at this card and I ain't read a thing off of it yet. I'm going to read it now. I'm talking about Brother Paisley, one of my favorite Bible teachers. Martin Lloyd Jones is another. I'd rather read his commentaries on Romans than eat when I'm starving. I think he's got the best. Somebody told me one time they didn't get much out of it. I don't understand that, Brother Richard. And this guy's another that I love. He's a good Bible teacher, and I love to hear him. R.C. Sproul. He's one of the old Reformed brethren. And I don't agree with him on everything, but I agree with him on a lot of things. And especially, I think, the most important things. I love it when a man knows what it takes for a sinner to get saved. I mean, really knows what it takes for a sinner to get saved. And knows that it can't happen with this easy believism. Junk. And that's all it is, Brother Larry. It's junk that's being proclaimed in our day. It's killing this generation. I pray to my God that my sons and my daughter-in-laws and my grandchildren out west is not caught in that net. My boy David lives in the same city where Jimmy Swaggart's ministries are located. I hope my blessed Redeemer gets him before Jimmy Swaggart gets him. Brother Bill, I didn't draw these lines. God drew them. This is Brother Sproul. This is his take on truth. This is what I heard him this past week. This is what he said about truth. He was sitting in a congregation up on the platform, him and I suppose maybe the pastor, or at least another man, sitting there. And the place was pretty much packed out. And Brother Sproul, he's considered to be a scholar, a Bible scholar. And I'll tell you one thing, he does take me out into some mighty deep waters at times. And I nearly drown before he gets me back to the bank. But I love it. Praise God. If I do drown, what a way to go. Amen. The question was asked, and it was put on a screen for everybody to read. Get this. Why should we engage in debate since it seems to cause division in the church? What message does that send to those outside the church? That's the question. Brother Sproul has got to answer the question. And I love the way he answered it. Brother Sproul, he starts with sarcasm. And I like that. He starts with sarcasm. Here's what he said. God forbid that we should ever debate the gospel. Sarcasm. Of course, he means just the opposite. Because he knows that the Apostle Paul said, I have set myself in defense of the gospel. I'm going to defend it. Because church family, there is not a single day that goes by that the gospel of the grace of God is not under severe attack on this planet Earth. And folks, it's not just the Muslims doing it either. And it's not just the other denominations doing it either. It's Baptists doing it. You know what a lot of them's doing? They're getting their children ready to go to hell. That's exactly what's happening. This ain't no game we play in here, folks. All right, Brother Sproul began. He's going to answer about this truth now, about dividing the churches. God forbid that we should ever debate the gospel, that we should ever follow in the footsteps of the Apostle Paul, who debated the matter every day in the marketplace, and who wrote all these epistles to correct error and distortions of the truth of God. Weren't those letters he wrote to the Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, elders, were they not divisive, he said? Go back and read the epistles again. They're filled up with stuff that splits, causes dissension. Brother Sproul said, nothing divides like truth. Nothing divides like Jesus. But we have this idea that the only real sin you can have is dividing a church. Well, he said there are churches that need to be divided. And they need to be divided, not over minor matters, but over substantive issues of the truth of God. When our Lord was asked by Pontius Pilate, what are you all about, Jesus? What is it with you? Jesus answered, I came to bear witness of the truth. And they who are of the truth hear my voice. That's the words of our Lord. And the next thing Jesus said was, but I sure don't want to divide anybody over the truth. More sarcasm from Brother Sproul. Sure don't want to divide nobody over truth. You know, we ought to get along with everybody. Find some common ground. I tell you what let's do. Let's just all get together with the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and all these. Let's just get together and just fellowship around the love of God. The love of God. We all believe God loves us. And so let's just focus on the love of God. In the first place, when you talk about love, everybody's not talking about the same thing. You talk to the world about love, and they talk about, you know, I was out with my sweetheart the other day. I went with this girl. We went down the back road, an old dirt road, one night, and got in the back seat and made love. That ain't love. That's lust. That's wildness. That is a fire out of control. It's going to wind up with some of the worst possible results. You're putting yourself in a very bad position, young ladies or young men, when you are with a partner that has no more respect for you than to treat you like you're a prostitute or treat you like you're some kind of heathen. That's not love. That's the fulfillment of the lust of the flesh. Don't marry somebody like that. You can't ever trust them. They'll cut up with you like a pack of wild dogs in the heat. They'll do that with other people as well. Is that too plain for you? Brother Sproul said, people act as though the truth is really not that important. But when they act that way, then the truth gets slain in the streets and anything goes. I have spent my life in business of dealing with truth. I'm too near home, Brother Doug, to back up now. The truth means too much. And it's the only thing that can accomplish what God intends to accomplish. He will not use any other means. He won't do it, Brother Junior. God will not stoop to the position that many men and churches have stooped to in our day, to where they will use just about anything but the truth to get themselves a good following. I don't remember if it was Ed Ballou, the old half-breed Cherokee Indian, or if it was Mae Jackson. But one of those old preachers many years ago, they said, all you got to do is get an old goat and tie a King James Bible around his neck and turn him loose, and before he walks half a block, he'll have a following. That's the truth, folks. You say, Brother Tommy, why be so dramatic about it? I am blowing a trumpet. I am sounding an alarm. I see what's going on. The wandering that's taking place among people who claim to know God. I see the straying of the sheep. I see us getting too busy with the things of the world. Too caught up. And I know it's a dangerous thing, because as we get caught up in the world, when we begin to let things go in the spiritual, we get carnal and we lose spiritual eyesight. And we become just exactly like the Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3, who is neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And God says a lukewarm spiritual condition makes the great physician sick on his stomach. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth, which means I will throw you up. God hates lies. He loves truth. He hates iniquity. He loves righteousness. Now I'm fixing to have to quit. Let me quit by pointing out that man that came with the wrong garments on. Just for the sake of any of you who don't know Christ, you cannot go to heaven because you join a church. Now, this is elementary stuff, I suppose, elementary knowledge to a lot of people, but it needs to be repeated. You cannot go to heaven because you get religion. You cannot go to heaven because you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. You cannot go to heaven because you simply came forward in a meeting and prayed a sinner's prayer. The only way anybody can ever get to the true and living God, and that's what it takes to go to heaven, only way we can do that is to surrender our hearts, lives, and wills totally and completely to King Jesus. Receiving Him. That's the words of the Scriptures. John 1:12. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. Born of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot see that God operates a kingdom over which He rules, and His people live under subjection to Him. And the most important thing to His people, they are the sheep of His pasture, and He is their shepherd, and they follow Him wherever He goes. They're always thinking about Him and what His will is. They love Him because He first loved them. Some people, church people, are too in love with themselves to go to heaven when they die. In redemption, the Lord Jesus wasn't bidding. He was buying. And He paid for everyone that He intended to change their lives completely and forever. I quit. I talked with a man last week on the telephone. He called me. And he told me, he named a truth. Brother Mark, he named a truth. And he said to me, I don't believe that is the truth. He said, I don't believe that is the truth. And I didn't say, well, it is. But instead, I began to take the scriptures and try to show him that it is the truth. Because just because I say something's true don't make it true. And just because you say something is true, that don't make it true. But if God says it's true, that makes it true. And so if I'm going to debate with anybody, I'm going to take what God says and say, this is what the Lord said about it. And I told that man what the Lord said about it. He never did say, well, I agree with the Lord then. But he did, it gave him reason to pause and to think. And I hope that he'll think it through and God will. But I know why he believes what he does about it. Because that's what he's been hearing from the pulpit. That other stuff. I think one of the prime places to go to hell from is churches. In a bad church where the truth of God is not preached and people will receive what is coming across the pulpit that's a lie, that'll put them in hell. And in a good church where the Word of God is preached and some folks won't have it, they'll go to hell. Our only hope, folks, our only hope is truth. Don't stray from that. Don't leave that. Stay with that. Because it's the only thing that will make you free. I hope every one of us, we haven't got much. We haven't got a lot of folks. We got the best people, but we haven't got a lot of people. But I do hope that we're all on the same page. I'm beginning to wonder about some folks. But I hope we're all on the same page. I'm going to stay where I've been all these years. I can't go back any other direction. This is it.